John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to EV News Daily and welcome to a special bonus edition and an interview today with a fascinating guest. One question stalls the used EV market. Is this battery any good? My guest today, Nathan Gore-Brown, is establishing the standard to answer it. Now, Nathan brings 30 years of experience across three continents in the automotive market, beginning with Auto Electrics in his apprenticeship in Sydney at home. And then that led him around the world, over a decade at Aston Martin here in the UK, working with dealers in sales, moving on to Caterpillar, and going back to Australia in Queensland and the first Tesla store, all the way through to the iconic launch of the first Model 3. Well, Nathan has identified a flaw in the market. Buyers can't verify the health of used batteries, so they're hesitating. And this gap is stalling the entire market. And at the minute, he's talking about Australia and New Zealand. But we can paint those brushstrokes all around the world. To fix it, he founded ZEV Integrations. He's a consultant to many. And leading on to earlier this year, founding his new business, Test EV. By bringing independent testing from specialists Avalu and taking that to Australia and New Zealand, he's securing partnerships with the likes of Redbook, Inspect, Pickles Auctions, the NRMA, and more as well. These deals are setting the rules now for how EVs are valued and sold. He also serves as the Queensland Director of the Australian Electric Vehicle Association, has developed national training programs for dealers. His work spans policy training, fleet decarbonisation, and now the infrastructure that makes EV purchases trustworthy. I think it's fair to say Nathan is the expert on replacing guesswork with real data. And welcome to the podcast. Good to have you here.
Thanks, Martin. It's fantastic to be here.
We've known each other for a long time. You've been an advocate for this podcast and more recently a supporter of the show. We'll get into that in a moment. So first of all, thank you for everything you've done to support EV News Daily over the 7-8 years, whatever, that we've been doing this. And we're at a really interesting place in both of our EV journeys. You are doing it in a way that is solving a huge problem for lots of people, say in Australia and New Zealand, at the moment with battery testing. But before we actually get onto the specific solution, was there a moment where you realised that the market needs independent EV battery testing of used cars, or was it a slow drip, drip, drip?
It's probably a bit of a combination of both. I've been around the EV space for nigh on a decade now. It's coming up to a decade. And in that time, bought and sold developed and engaged with fleets to take on electric vehicles in their fleets for years. More than 10,000 vehicles planned and supported, councils and so on. And so all of that conversation often leads to the residual values and the used market and the remarketing of electric vehicles to that public audience later on. And so there was a bit of a drip there. But about a little over 12 months ago, you did a story. And that story on EV News Daily provided me with a bit of a catalyst. There was a spark there about this whole battery testing space. And it led me on a journey to go around the world, metaphorically, virtually, if you like, and have a look for the world's best EV battery health testing device. So that was where it was. You're definitely part of that journey.
Oh, wow. That's cool. How did your experience over three decades working for the world's most prestigious auto brands and, you know, the world's number one brand with Tesla, how did that shape your understanding of what buyers need from used cars?
Particularly at Tesla, we had thousands of discussions. We were doing, you know, 100 test drives a week out of Brisbane when I first started, with a great staff there that we built. And we were having those consistent conversations of the whatabouts from customers. And, you know, as they were exploring their EV journey, it was a really important part to understand. And as you do, you listen to all the nuances, you listen to all the questions, you listen to the question of a new car sale, but then also some of that used cars. Obviously, we sold, you know, approved used Teslas at that time as well, as taking on used cars to then, you know, help people into a Tesla. So I've had those conversations dozens, hundreds, and even thousands of times. And so you start to get a bit of a pattern and you start to understand what the core, I guess, fears or concerns are.
Is there a percentage of people who simply won't buy an EV? I've started calling them the never bevers because they say, with absolute certainty, I am never driving an EV. And then you come back in 6 months' time and they've got their first one. But either way, it's fine. It's fine. We won't hold it against them. But is there a percentage of people, and maybe this changes market to market, who say, well, I'm not going to buy an EV because the battery lasts 5 minutes, like my mobile phone or my tablet, and then they all go rubbish. You've got to stick them in the skip.
There's definitely some data that's come out of Europe. And then I think I've found it to be confirmed here in Australia and New Zealand is there's a group of never bevers that specifically focus their neverage towards used vehicles. So people will buy a new EV and particularly have confidence to buy a new EV under the sort of reliability and the warranty and all the other things that come with a new one. But if it's used, and even if it's only a little bit used, so still fully covered by warranty and so on, about 50% of people surveyed have been told in a particular survey have been telling us that they wouldn't buy a used vehicle. And the number one reason for that was battery health. And there were some other questions about, you know, reliability, even in some cases, brand, the depth of that brand and whether or not they're going to be able to support them.
Before you settled on the Austrian company Avalu and their tech solution, you had a look at what else is out there. What is out there for EV buyers to understand what the battery health is like? Because I know I've got an OBD dongle. I plug it in, car scanner gives me a percent, job done. That's not quite as simple as
sure.
That.
Sort of. And look, and I think that's the thing. So if you think about, we step through it. So the manufacturer could talk to the vehicle, ask the vehicle a question about its battery health. And similarly, your OBD dongle was asking that same question, but from a third-party app or similar. So there's those kind of elements. And then there's a couple of folks who have taken that a little bit further and they've got the dongle, but now they've got this sort of layer over the top of that with an app that generates a certificate of sorts. And there's a couple, there's an American company, there's a French-based company that sort of do that thing as well. Those guys have put a little bit of proprietary work over the top of this dongle concept. And then there's Avalu, and I'll come back to the Avalu bit in a second. But in each of those other cases, what we're doing is we're taking the car's word for it. It's like me asking you, Martin, how healthy are you? And you say, I'm the pillar of health. And then if we did a blood test, we'd find out that maybe, you know, your iron's a little low or whatever it might be. And so that's the difference between all of the, you know, OEM and dongle kind of battery health testing devices, which just take a percentage that the battery management system has provided us, compared to the Avalu system. And one of the key drivers for me choosing it to bring to the market was that it does more than that. It not only looks at that number, that's come back from the car, but it then correlates that information that it's got from charging information, temperature information, current draw information, and pulls it all together and compares it over thousands of other tests to provide a real world battery health score, and overcomes things like some manufacturers having the percentage that they announce out of the car include the buffer of the battery that we can't play with.
It's interesting, isn't it? It's So putting aside the people who say, I'm not buying an EV, full stop, don't talk to me about it. There's probably another tranche of people who go, well, yeah, I will buy a used EV, but the value of it must go up and down. Like, I understand it in combustion world because miles driven is probably a good indicator of, has it had services and how many miles it done. With an EV, of course, a lot of it comes down to the health of the battery and the bits that you can't see. There's no smoky exhaust, as it were, on an EV. So how much are you finding the value of a used EV can swing up or down by maybe even thousands of dollars? How do the economics get impacted by battery health?
Well, certainly to replace a battery that is unhealthy is, typically 50% of the value of the car, roughly, even more than that as the vehicle's depreciated to a used car value. So there's that challenge that's always overhanging, an EV that is the area of concern. I think the valuation of a vehicle based on its health is something that the market hasn't quite got yet right now, at least here in Australia. If you go and, I've got an old Tesla and I'm going to have it valued in the marketplace, I'm going to trade it in or similar, It's how many cases it's done, how old it is it? So we're still using the old methods that we know from ICE vehicles that we're applying them to EVs. But that doesn't necessarily align. I've got a vehicle that's got, it's 6 years old and it's got 100,000 Ks. I've got also a friend who's got a slightly younger car, but it's got 400,000 kilometers. What's that, 260,000 miles or something? Uber driver, he's a YouTuber and he does all sorts of bits and pieces. We tested that car. And the difference between my car, which is slightly older, but a quarter of the Ks, and his car my car was 4 percentage points higher at 87 versus his at sort of 83. 82, that sort of order. And so we've got this situation where it's not K's or age, but it's a combination of those two things. And model to model, it changes. So in my experience, Teslas don't seem to age as much with kilometres, particularly Model 3s, as they do with years. So you can almost plot the years as the reason for reduction in battery health. And it's just a phenomenon there. Go and have a look at a Hyundai and it's different.
Interesting. Yeah, I guess you can't take people's word for how the vehicle's been driven. It's the equivalent of one careful lady owner in car dealer cliche. It seems a little bit 1970s to say that now, but because I leave my Polestar at 50. Like, it's got the slider like Teslas have, and I just leave it at 50 because I don't do, if I'm doing a long journey, I know about it the day before and I'll whack it up. And I think when it gets to 80 or 90% on the slider, it'll say, ooh, you sure about this? Because you might be hurting the battery a little bit. And then if I've got a really long journey, I'll put it to 100. I don't, it's fine. The battery's fine. But I'll leave it at 50. Whereas if I come to sell that car, I've had it for a couple of years now, and I might say to the purchaser, oh, I leave it at 50%. Like, well, that's just my word for it. So data is important. Let's just talk about why you chose this particular tech solution. So you partnered with Avalu. They've got a couple of tests that they do in their system. They've got a longer test where you cycle the battery, and then they've got what they call the flash test, which is, plus minus 3%, as accurate as the big test, as it were. So what data are your devices collecting, and how does it calculate this accurate report on the battery?
For years. So Avalu's been going for 7 years now, and the team there, really clever guys. Nico, the CTO, is just unbelievably clever. And he's got about 15 or 20 years in the EV game in batteries and lithium-ion batteries, having been involved in the Ampera A project and others. So really clever Austrian folks. And they have now generated testing over 400,000 tests. done so far. So they've got this massive database. They know vehicles. There's hundreds and hundreds of models covered. And so I think that that's the start. The premium test, where you charge the vehicle up to 100% and you drive it down to 10%, you have the device plugged into it and it takes all the data, thousands, millions of points of data. And that's something that we can do, and we used to do a lot of, but we don't do as many of these days because we don't need to, because the accuracy of the work that the flash test can do. So, because that would require you to drive it over several days and do typically, you know, 300 or 400 kilometers. It's not really that viable, particularly in a dealership or a, you know, an auction house kind of environment. So they developed the flash test, which has been going for about a couple of years now, and we've got thousands and thousands of those tests. And what has been you're able to do is plug the vehicle in and run that test for 3 minutes. It's like taking a video of the battery and the battery system for 3 minutes. And so over those 3 minutes, we can see things happening. You know, the aircon's on or the radio's running, and you can see a slight amount of energy being consumed, and so the behavior of the battery changes and all that sort of stuff. But the reason I found that Avalu is so, you know, conducive to being able to be scaled is it's plug and play. So you don't have to tell the device what vehicle you're playing with. It knows. It takes the VIN number from the car. It takes it into the device. It then chooses the right software and runs the right program. And then at the end of that test, it's got a SIM card inside, which then sends the packet of data back to Austria for it to be worked on. And then the email lands in the email box assigned to the device within basically a minute of the test being done. And you said before about it being accurate to 3%. It's actually accurate to 1%, plus or minus 1% of that longer test in 99% of cases. And then in absolute worst set of cases, we're plus or minus 3%. So super accurate. And we take not only what the car said, but we adjust the value of the real world battery health based on the standard that's coming. There's a new standard that's coming out of Europe, and we are already using that standard for the way that we measure the energy inside the battery. And I think that's the big thing. There's no standard that's really being used across the marketplace, and we've been able to, you know, use the standard that's been proposed, get ahead of the curve, and then deliver the results based on that standard, the actual energy that you or I can drive with.
Interesting. Yeah. So even with the simple app that I've got with my dongle, and I can look at the cell voltages of different cells, and my wife looks at me and goes, "You're just such a loser." But also, and that's just on a good day. And she goes, "But it doesn't mean that the pack's any good." I go, "Yeah. Well, there might be something that is at a very low voltage compared to the others, and that might be, you know, in my inexperienced way, like, oh, maybe we'll just top charge this one and we'll do 100%, let it balance the cells." That was kind of more important in the couple of Renault Zoes that we had. They'd get to 99 and those cars would spend forever getting to 100, and you could see them all just equalizing the cell voltages. Maybe it's older technology, or maybe it still happens in a different way in modern EVs. But your heat map that you generate can even identify down to cell level problems.
Absolutely.
Are there like real world examples of where this could save a buyer from making a bad decision?
Absolutely. And I think the thing that you talked about there, being able to access that energy, that information that you're able to do through your dongle, is one thing. And it's, again, let's go back to the blood test. If I gave you results of a full blood test and you look at it and you're like, what does that mean? What's good? What does good look like? And we overlay that.
So I had one as I'm approaching 50. I had one last year where I spent a couple of hours in a clinic having all sorts of things, bloods taken from me. But when I got the report, not only was it, you know, beefy and touch wood, I'm doing all right, but they just gave me on each page a traffic light. So it was like, you know, cholesterol, green. And then there's all the data if I wanted to read it, and I didn't understand half of it.
Sure.
But you're absolutely right. On each of these pages, there was a, like, yeah, thumbs up, green, amber, red. And if any of the red ones, they put me onto a GP, and luckily I didn't. But you're right. So I didn't understand that. I understand EVs in a way that my wife doesn't, and she's a nurse. She understood this document, and I didn't get it, but I understood, oh, like, okay, traffic light system, I get it. So this is similar. It explains it according to knowledge level.
And it provides, when there's something to know, it provides a really plain English explanation of what it is, why it is, and what to do next. And I think that's a really important part for owners, but also dealers, right? You know, I've got vehicles being tested at dealers and auction houses and whatever else that they've come in, you know, and they've either bought it into stock or whatever it might be, and they really don't know what they've bought. And so that's another part of this process of understanding what you've got. So some real world examples and ones that you might not have been able to see. So we did a Porsche Cayenne plug-in hybrid the other day, and what we found in the report and in the scan was that there were two voltage sensors at different ends of the pack, which had a really big difference in the voltage, which was greater than would be acceptable. And so we called that out as a problem and with the voltage sensors. And when I asked the guys at Avalu to go into the deeper, darker detail and find out what was really going on there, what they found was that particular car had a software version in it that was nothing like any software that they'd ever seen in that type of car on the 1,157 tests they'd done of the same vehicle. And that moment, and this was for a dealer, it was in stock, and that gave those guys the opportunity to take the car back to Porsche and get the right software in it, because God knows what the other things that that software and the battery management system was going to do to it, other than saying that these voltages are quite a way out from each other, and not then detecting that there was actually a voltage drop potential there with a resistance problem, which turns into all sorts of other drama. So that's just one little example of like stuff way under the skin, and then also comparing two values that you might not see if you're just looking at the dongle because you don't know what to look for.
That is amazing, because you can't tell how much energy is in a battery. You can drain a fuel tank, and I always think of the example as, can you put it in a wheelbarrow? And if you can, I understand it. Like, can you put some fuel in it? Right, I get it. I'm a simple person. But you can't put energy in the same way and understand it. So you need solutions like this to understand what it means, cell voltage actually means. Let's talk a little bit about Test EV and the business that you're building. Only since the start of the year, it's had incredible success in 2025. You built a network of partners from auction houses, Redbook, sales as well. How have you convinced these major players to very quickly adopt EV testing through Test EV into their operations?
Kind of stems from a maturity curve. And so there's some of my customers and some of the folks in the marketplace who have seen the tea leaves. They get it. They understand the challenges that they're hearing from customers and the challenges that their teams are having and the potential. I think the big thing is the potential value in used EVs that isn't being realized. The cars are being undervalued because the market isn't confident enough to have enough demand to then buy and pump the prices up. And so a great example would be Pickles Auctions, who have seen the time coming. In fact, they started doing this way before Test EV. They did it with one of the competitors and they switched to Avalu through Test EV because they found that the operational capability of the device was so much simpler for their team, and the time it took to do was so much less that that alone, beyond the other accuracy pieces, which are greater than some of the competitors, was enough for them. And so there's that, whereas others are starting further down the maturity curve. And I've had to convince them a bit more. Started a conversation 6 months ago and just finally they're starting to get on board. And I think reality, and if I take it from a dealer point of view, they have to feel a little bit of pain. They have to have that customer come in and go, hey, nice car. What about the battery? And it's like, I don't know. It's a car. Do you want one? And then at that point, they go, no, you're right. I'm going to go away. And then they've lost that sale and having to deal with a lead, a customer coming in, that costs money. That costs time. And so they don't want to lose that lead and they want to be able to sell. So they have to actually feel a little bit of pain from a dealer point of view. And then the consumers as well, you know, they've got a question that they want a solution to. So in some ways I kind of think about it, they've got a headache and, you know, here's the Panadol, the paracetamol that to support them and get them over that that discomfort. And I think, you know, the other thing here has been, I really try to build a network so that consumers that really want the service, that want to be comfortable, can access it. So we've pretty much every major city around Australia now has some level of coverage, have the ability to get hold of a test. And I think that was a really important milestone that we've achieved about a month, 2 months ago, that sort of time frame.
So what's the business model of Test EV then? Because you're going to have dealers that might have a couple of EVs come through a week or even a month, as the market's immature in some places in Australia, or an auction house that's got to get through 50 vehicles a week and they just want to plug it in, get the data, move on. Plug it in. It's someone's job to just go down the line and get those health certificates because the auction is in 2 days' time. We've got to get the paperwork uploaded to the website or whatever. So what's your business model? Are you charging a, you know, a percentage on every test? Are you licensing it? You sell the boxes? How does it work?
Yeah, ultimately a distributor arrangement here in Australia and New Zealand for Austria. You know, they're on a different time zone. They're a different part of the world. They don't necessarily have, you know, the ability to run a business here from their, you know, local company laws and all the other stuff that goes with it. So, and people on the ground, right? And people who know the market. And I guess that's something that I've got, all of those things covered. So yes, basically offering that reseller service, taking it out of Europe and providing it to those end user customers and helping them with that process. So tech support, as they go, insights with the stuff that they've got. So we've got a large, customer who's thinking about what their charging solution might need to be in their businesses. Well, now we've got data of the vehicles that come into their business, and we can then start to understand what is the need that they have, what charging needs do they need to provide their vehicles, so they can then start to build. So these parallel data points, I guess the consultant in me is always there, and you're always looking for ways that we can use the insights that we have for other, for good, I guess, instead of evil. And what we do is offer that extra support for folks. And look, I think over time we're going to start to see more and more information come through this space, and maybe even other products that this group of you know, used vehicle vendors, in whichever way they are, might need to have as well. But Avalu is certainly the cornerstone of Test EV's model.
We've talked a lot about selling vehicles, and I understand absolutely why. If you're a dealer, you might want to say to a prospect that walks in, here's a certificate from an internationally recognized organization, and the batteries, it's all, you know, it's all good. But what about the perspective of buyers? Is there a market? I think when I bought the Polestar, maybe I spent £49 or £59 on one of these third-party tests that says, right, there's no outstanding finance, there's no, you know, liens on the car, whatever, you know, you're good to go. It might be a little too expensive at the minute for a buyer looking at maybe three or four cars to pay for a test on each one. But is there eventually a market where you go to buy a car and you say to the person selling it, hey, would you mind if we just do a battery test and, like, I'll pay for that? Or is it still a little bit too expensive for you to do that on the off chance that the result might be bad? Because it might save you $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 by making a bad choice. Not making a bad choice.
That's right. And so that was a key part of Test EV for me, being a consumer advocate through the Australian Electric Vehicle Association, all that sort of stuff. As a consumer myself, I wanted to be able to make it available to the public, because about one third of vehicles, at least in Australia, are bought through, used vehicles are bought through a dealership, but two thirds are peer to peer, right? So if I'm going to come and buy your Polestar off you, I will then, you know, get to the point where this is the car. Like, we've done it. We've got a good car in front of us. We're happy with it. So confirmationary, doing a test, I think is something that I'm starting to see a lot of consumers be interested in doing, particularly driven by the buyer rather than a private seller. I think in time, private sellers who want to sell their EVs will potentially go and get a test in as part of their, hey, I'm selling my EV privately and I'm trying to get the most money for it. So if I invest a little tiny bit, and we're talking, you know, in the order of about 1% of the price of the battery and, you know, 0.5% of the price of the vehicle kind of pricing in Australia, $175 Australian. You're talking about it being a very small insurance policy to know what's going on. And about 1-2% of the vehicles that we test do exhibit an issue. And that issue is either resolvable and repairable, or it's actually a problem and it's going to need some deep work. And we've supported locally, we've supported customers who have come across a problem vehicle and then had to have some advocacy from an independent source to help the dealer and the manufacturer get on board with the repair.
So how might that work for individuals then? So would that be going to a, you know, in time, going to a centre, you know, like you get your windscreen replaced in the supermarket car park sometimes. They're like, oh, we've got a pop-up store. If you've got a chip in your windscreen, often the insurance company will cover it with no excess. And like, oh, we're in, you know, in the supermarket car park today, so come and get the, you know, the resin stuff. Would it be you sending the kit out to somebody in the post and they get maybe three tests or something as part of the cost? Or is it something where, you know, a gal or a guy in a van turns up at your place, plugs it in, and what does that business model look like in the future?
Yeah, so what we've seen is a couple of different business models. We've got dealers and mechanical workshops who have got a device in their business, and they're offering it to consumers. So you can go to their site and go and get a test, and that's typically the cheapest because you don't have to worry about a mobile, you know, call out fee kind of arrangement. So that is typically the most cost effective way to go and get a private test is finding one of our on our website. We have Find a Tester, and those testing people are then, you know, available. Similarly, we've got mobile services, and those mobile services are typically aligned to what we call like a pre-purchase inspection. So if you're going to buy your Polestar, but you want somebody to kick the tires for you, go around it, check it out, make sure it's not, you know, all the wheels are pointing in the right direction. They're also adding the ability to do a test. So the likes of Redbook Inspect, which is a large player here in Australia, and we've got lots of independent vehicle inspectors who have also taken on the Avalu system, will go out to the vehicle and do the test as part of an inspection. And so that provides the whole physical and electrical peace of mind around the vehicle that you're just about to buy. So you typically do it after you've made a pretty good confirmation, not while you're still in the shopping phase, but I know this blue one's the one I want to buy. Okay, great. Then you employ the tools and processes and expertise to give you that peace of mind.
So moving a step up then from buying a car peer-to-peer, moving a step up from remarketers, dealers, and you know, private dealers and things like that, to where a lot of the trade get their stock. So let's think about the market. What would it look like in Australia if every single EV or plug-in hybrid in Australia or New Zealand that went through an auction house, if every single one of those had a test EV certificate? What would that do to the market, do you think?
Well, we're already kind of seeing that two big auction houses, the two biggest auction houses in Australia, have been testing. And a good example is Pickles, who do a vast number of them and are testing every single vehicle that passes through the lanes. And there's a couple of things there that they've got. They've got that peace of mind for the bidder. So they've seen more bidders, more dealer bidders. So not just private bidders, but more dealer bidders, because dealers are becoming more comfortable. They're seeing higher prices. And they're seeing higher clearance rates. Basically, it's sold first time. All of this through confidence drives value ultimately in the car business. And that's exactly what they've been seeing. And those, you know, you buy a car as a dealer or as a person, and you're then getting that certificate as part of that purchase. And the same thing goes with big companies like BCA, British Car Auctions in the UK as well, doing the same sort of thing, using Avalu to test every vehicle and sell that, provide that vehicle with the test. And whether you're going to on-sell a vehicle because you're a dealer or you're a consumer like you or I, and we're going to buy that car like you did your Polestar, then you're going to be able to use that, you know, as part of your confidence. I bought a good car, or I've dodged a bullet. And that's what we've seen a bit of as well. There are, you know, we have bullets that we need to dodge.
All right, let's change gear and talk about fleets. Now, this is where thousands of vehicles are under management of effectively one organization, whether that is things like Motability or just large corporations that have a ton of vehicles that they all, as part of their decarbonization plans over the next few decades, will all be driving EVs. So all the fleets will all be all EV, maybe even quicker than private transport. And so you recommend testing at different stages of a vehicle within a fleet. Why would you, if you run a fleet, test the vehicles that are coming in from the factory? Why would you have this test done when a vehicle comes in?
Well, I guess, you know, you wouldn't necessarily do it on every occasion, but there are certain situations, and you and I know some of those vehicles that maybe haven't sold as well, but fleets go on to buy. And the example of that is a vehicle might sit on grass. It might, as we say in the trade, has been sitting there for maybe 12 months. And do we know whether the people who are stewarding that vehicle sitting in an airfield or on a dockside or wherever it might be, have they been charging it? what's the vampire drain look like? Has that vehicle sat at a very, very low state of charge for a long period of time? Because there's enough evidence around our world to say that that is actually an accelerative issue for battery degradation. And so fleets often get swathes of cars, whether you're a hire car company or you're a fleet company. The manufacturer comes to you saying, can I do a deal for you? I've got all these cars and I'd love you to take 100 of them. And they go, well, it's a good deal. Let's sign the paper. What are you actually buying? Have you bought a car that's already lost a reasonable chunk? And I think those fleets are often then being used by people, and there's a duty of care that the range that it says on the tin that the vehicle is being provided with is actually what you're going to get. Because if you've got a 10% degradation on a vehicle that's new because it's been sitting and had a bit of a hard life in its early days, then the driver and the fleet isn't going to get not just the value, but that driver might, you know, find themselves caught short or caught shorter than they had expected. So that's definitely a thing.
Testing after a crash as well. This is a fascinating topic that I'd never even considered, because when you have an accident and maybe that goes through an insurance claim, as long as the car drives and the battery pack isn't bent and structurally it looks all fine and you do a visual inspection from the outside and there's no warning lights on the dash, but then the idea of plugging something in that gives not just the little dongle that I've got and the very silly little system that I use, but actually something that's a really deep dive into the pack that runs those algorithms that make sure there's nothing kind of out of order. That's what isn't being done, because when you file your insurance claim, they're going to be like, okay, so now I need to order these parts from the main dealer or whatever, whoever's fixing the car, and we need to get it back on the road, and the cost is going to be this. I bet they're not thinking, but let's make sure nothing broke that we can't see.
And there's sort of two phases, if you like, to a crash. You've got the beginning, the crash has happened, and you're getting the vehicle assessed. If the car has got a battery problem and you're going to work out what the value is to repair it, the write-off value is then moved, right? So that's another thing. We're not seeing insurers yet testing a vehicle at the at that point of assessment. But when they get later on in their life, after the vehicle has been repaired, what we have seen, and I've tested quite a few vehicles now, is consumers saying, hey, thanks very much for fixing my car. Yep, it looks all pretty again. But how do we know that the battery's okay? And so that has been a question for consumers, and even consumers who have been rejecting taking the vehicle back until they're feeling confident about that. And I can understand that, because there's several things that's gone on in there. Obviously, there's been works to the vehicle. So is everything plugged in right and everything doing the right thing? Was there any sustained damage internally to the battery during that period of time? Am I getting back the vehicle that I started with after an incident has occurred?
Interesting, isn't it? And then what about insurance companies and warranties as well? Because I've got a warranty on my Polestar, third-party warranty. I took it out because it covers everything. It covers the battery pack. It's the only thing that could conceivably go wrong on a pretty well-engineered car. This thing's 5 years old now. It doesn't rattle, doesn't shake. But if the worst happens, and I would say to people, I might be an advocate for EVs, but they're machines, and all machines will break. I could be unlucky. I've seen stuff on the Polestar forums. People have problems. I've had no issues. But so I just took out a 2-year warranty that covered everything on the car, regardless. But now you and I are talking about this. If I was running a warranty company, then what I'd have to do is take all of the warranties that I sell, any claims that come in, I'd have to average it over all of my customers. And again, if I was running an insurance company, I guess obviously the way insurance works is, you take everyone's money and then you assume there's going to be a certain amount of crashes. But actually, a more sophisticated way of insuring vehicles and providing warranties would be working with just a little bit more data and going, well, actually, let's just do a test on your battery first, and then we'll give you a price for the warranty. Because you might get a discount if it's in, proper shape. Is that part of the conversation or not?
I think it's part of the conversation. I know it's part of the conversation in some markets around the world. It's not the conversation in Australia yet. In fact, some of the warranty companies that I've had conversations with are just like, we just don't do EVs.
And
that's okay. We just don't do it. And at some stage, whether it's next year or next decade, the market will shift and there will be a demand enough to then do that. I think it's just a combination of lack of data. Well, we've got some solutions for that these days. And just scared, And so I think as the market grows and maybe as consumers demand, hey, I really would like to get an extended warranty on my battery. Some markets, like in Europe, you have to provide as a sales, you know, as a used car dealer, you have to provide a warranty. It's legislative. Whereas in Australia, we don't have that issue in the same way. We give people 3 months, and if it's all right, then see you later. So most dealers, you know, are just trying to get over that 3 month barrier. We will see those products soon. And I think you can set the pricing based on how healthy the battery is today and how much degradation further will we warrant to. And it won't necessarily always be that typical OEM approach, the manufacturer approach, where we've got 70% battery health is typically where a warranty kicks in. And I think that's another time when we see people wanting to do a test is when they're getting close to warranty. So something like, you know, 100,000 miles, 160,000 Ks, and nearing that 8 year point, which is when most battery warranties are covered to in most electric vehicles. You know, if you're getting close to that, you're doing a test to understand where you sit and do you have a warranty claim before the warranty times out.
Interesting. I think it's a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of focus on new EVs. I do on I hear on the podcast as well. A disproportionate amount of attention goes to, hey, a new EV's been launched. Let's talk about it. Actually, all of the action is in the used market, second, third, fourth hand cars. That's why I'm so excited to talk about this.
We're seeing that in the UK now. The UK has just gotten to that critical mass in the used car space, and I think is a really exciting place to be. Australia's still only got about 400,000 plug-in vehicles on the road. In total, which is a very small, you know, under 2% of our market is EV at this point. And so it's very much a growing, burgeoning market. About half the amount of vehicles percentage-wise each month put on our road are plug-ins compared to the UK at 30%, we're like 15. You know, it's a different point in the sphere, but yeah, it's exciting in the UK particularly.
Well, for our listeners around the world who are considering buying a used EV, obviously, they can't get an Avalu test through Test EV just yet. Maybe they can if they're in Australia or New Zealand, but for the rest of us, maybe we can't do that just yet. But what would be your one piece of advice if they're going to go and buy a used electric vehicle and they haven't got all the insights that you can provide yet? With all of your experience, what are the questions that we should be asking in the meantime?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, get in touch with Avalu or a local Avalu reseller in each of those markets. They exist all over the world, just like I do here. Yeah, absolutely. And request it. Go into the dealer and say, hey, that's a lovely car, but can you provide me an independent battery health check? And whether that's an Avalu or another, I don't know. But ultimately, that is what you're looking for to get the answer. Just trusting the manufacturer, you always talk about Dieselgate, is not necessarily the right thing to do. And so I would say having that independent check from a reputable and certified provider like Avalu is the one to do.
Amazing. Well, look, thank you for joining us today on the podcast. What a business you've launched already so far this year. You're off and away. What's going to be the next phase of the expansion of Test EV in Australia and New Zealand? What are you going to achieve in the next phase?
I think there's proliferation of more dealer groups and resellers using it as part of their sales toolkit. I think consumers asking for it in the in a peer-to-peer way, and so accessing it through our workshops and our mobile testing crews. I think that's important, and I think as we start to move forward is moving away from this, I'm worried about the battery, to I will get an answer about the battery, and then really starting to have people, you know, go and chase vehicles with good health and do the right things about those with less good health and having them repaired and resolved. And we start to sort of segregate the market instead of lumping everything as it must all be bad and it's going to be in landfill by the end of the week, to actually these ones are really good and it's really fine and it's got many, many years of life, and these ones over here actually need some love.
Amazing. All right, look, thank you so much. Find out more details at testev.co, and if anyone listening to this is as much of a data nerd as me, I would just love to have it done just for the sake of it. And so that's where my mind has gone in this interview. And I'm like, I'm not selling my car. I'm not buying a car. I'd just love to know. Now I've got to tell my wife I'm spending $175. I mean, a lot less in Great British pounds on a battery test just because. But I still want one done. It'll be so interesting. Nathan, thank you so much for joining us today.
Absolute pleasure. Thank you, Martin.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them, while everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams sale and get 30% off Super Paint, Super Deck, and Woodscapes products June 12th through the 22nd. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.